Well, Premier Peter Beattie by Friday won't be Premier or a Member of Parliament. He's been a colourful figure in Queensland. Pardon me. For a long time, he was an outsider. In fact, Wayne Goss didn't have too much ability on his front bench when he was Premier, but he would never pick Peter Beattie. And it took Peter Beattie a long time to even win pre-selection for a Labor seat. As soon as he got the chance, he became a success story. He was Premier on the 26th of June 1998 when Labor won 44 seats out of 89. So he just scraped in with the support of an independent, and then the landslide began. 2001, he won 66 seats out of 89. 2004, he won 63 out of 89. September 2006, only a year ago, 59 seats, he became the first state Labor leader since Neville Rann to win a fourth consecutive term in office. Yes, less than a year later, he's gone, and he'd be out of the Parliament by Friday. He's on the line. He's still the Premier. Premier, good morning.
Good morning, Alan. You know your history very well. Being an ex-Queenslander, I guess I should have expected that.
Well, what is going on?
Oh, Alan, I've got to the stage where I think it's important to have some renewal. I've been around a long time, and I've worked very hard, as you'd expect me to. I've groomed a successor, and I think it's time to move on. You need someone who is younger, who's prepared to work incredibly hard like I have, and I have that. I'm going to move on and give my successor a go in the interest of the state.
But, I mean, you didn't tell anyone on September 9, 2006, that you wouldn't see out your term. Do you think that people will feel let down by this?
Well, you're right, but I hope not. I mean, I think what people would want is a Premier who works hard, does his best or her best, and then paves the way for a successor who can continue that work. I've been Premier, as you said, just over 9 years, and inevitably these days of modern media, modern accountability, the pressure's on, and it's tougher than it's ever been. I think, Alan, you and I have seen those changes in accountability, and they're good things, don't get me wrong, they're good things, but it's tougher in politics these days than ever before, and I think people need to have renewal. That's just my view.
You're leaving behind, though, a lot of unfinished business.
Well, most of the stuff we're doing, like the infrastructure plan, has been well started. You're right, we haven't finished it, but it's $82 billion worth. It's the biggest infrastructure plan since Federation in Australia. And the other day, I opened the first part, the first link, if you like, of the water grid. We've got recycled water going, desalination plants being built. All that's well underway, so that's being done. In terms of the health system, yes, there's still unfinished business, but it's being done.
Just on the health system, can I ask you that?
Sure.
Because it is one of the biggest conundrums in Australian public policy. I mean, you have committed $9.7 billion of health funding in Queensland over the next 5 years. Now, that's a 25% increase over current expenditure levels when the population is going to grow by no more than about 2.5%.
Yes.
Now, spending money obviously hasn't improved the health system. Do we have to change the model? Can we continue to go on where some people believe that no matter their income, they can have health care for nothing?
Well, I think the issue is, and that's the heart of the problem, of course, but that's not the only heart to this problem. It's got several hearts, if I can put it like that, Alan. The truth is, do we need to change the system? You bet we do. Is the current one broken? Yes, it is. It's horse and buggy stuff. And the overlap between the Commonwealth and the state is costing us billions. We've not trained enough Australians to be doctors in our own country. This is why I had problems with Jayant Patel in Bundaberg. And we need to get rid of this absolute wasted nonsense where the Commonwealth and state overlap. And Alan, you and I have talked about this before. You go to one of our hospitals where you go to accident emergency. You've got some of the best trained surgeons and doctors in the world. And yet, because there's not enough GPs nearby, you get people wandering in there because they've got no choice. And they go in there when their kids have got a cold. Now, you don't need those level of specialists handing out Panadol. What you need is GPs near accident and emergency. But why doesn't that happen? Because the Commonwealth and states know that that would be cost-shifting. Well, it's about time we renegotiated the whole agreement. So you're right. We need a new model because the current one's broken.
But if $9.7 billion is going to be spent over 5 years, Do you ever wonder whether that increase in funding will yield a proportionate improvement in service delivery? If the model is broken, we may be throwing good money after bad.
It will improve the system, but it will not improve it to the extent necessary unless we have major reform. Now, I'm doing the best I can at a state level to improve the system to maximum ability here, but it will not be maximum ability, Alan. You're absolutely right, until we change the system and fix it up. I mean, we'll end up with a much better system, but will it be perfect? No way. Could it be a lot better? You bet, if we change the system. And that's why we've got to have major structural reform of how health is delivered.
Talking about systems, Pauline Hanson also is a Queenslander. You're leaving now. She was improperly jailed and found by your own people to have been, the courts of Queensland, to be improperly jailed. Compensation was paid to Di Fingleton, who was improperly jailed. No compensation to Pauline Hanson. Why?
Well, I think just going back to the first point about that, Alan, she successfully appealed the matter to the Supreme Court. Now, I'm getting old and a bit senile, but I don't think we ever did pay Di Fingleton compensation. She got a job back, that's true, and some people may see that as compensation, but I don't think she ever got a monetary amount. I'll double-check that.
Should someone who is improperly jailed be compensated for the damage done to them?
Well, that's one of those contentious legal arguments. We don't do it in our system. We don't do it for people who go to jail for murder and get off. We didn't do it, you're right, for Pauline Hanson. We don't do it under our system. There are some who argue that you do, but then again, someone's got to pay if that happens.
But she's got plenty wrong, hasn't she, that Leanne Clare? She's still there.
Well, you know, people have raised whatever issues they want, and I mean, there are, you know, I don't think any independent officer is beyond criticism, and that, you know, premiers aren't, commentators aren't, and I don't think independent officers are either.
The Heiner affair, is that something that will continue to dog Kevin Rudd? It certainly is a matter that the public are concerned about the government actually destroying documents.
Well, Alan, I don't think it will. My view about that is, I wasn't in the cabinet when that happened. That was, you know, the Goss years. I come to that with a...
You had great difficulty making a Goss cabinet.
Yes, I did have a little. I did have a little. You're quite right.
You had a lot of difficulty even winning a seat.
Oh, that's true, too. When I was listening to your history analysis, I think Alan knows this too well. But anyway, I can smile about it now, Alan. I can smile about it now.
But the Heiner affair, the destruction of documents, I mean, the pastor went to jail for doing exactly the same thing. These documents were destroyed when they were wanted for a case, a serious case, involving the rape of a 14-year-old girl.
See, what happened with that, and that's, you know, before my time, as you know, what happened there basically...
But it wasn't before Kevin Rudd's time.
No, but what happened was that this was an inquiry set up by the National Party in their dying days in 1988 or 89. What they didn't do, when they set up the inquiry, they didn't give the inquiry the legal protection that when someone came along and gave evidence, like defamatory evidence against someone else, they didn't give legal protection. So in other words, normally at an inquiry, if I go along and say something derogatory about Alan Jones, then you can't sue me because I'm protected by the privilege of the inquiry. Now, that's not what they did here. They stuffed it up. Now, the Goss government had to consider what they did about it. Their advice on Crown Law was to destroy what evidence had been given for legal reasons. Now, people can argue about it, but we've had a number of inquiries.
But a 14-year-old girl is still damaged. She was raped in an institution run by the state, and there must have been something that the government were more concerned, the Goss government, about protecting themselves than seeking justice for the 14-year-old girl, and that justice still is in abeyance.
Well, I don't know all the details of the evidence that was given, because as I said, it was before my time. But in terms of the Crown Law advice, it related to the fact that the National Party had not set up the inquiry to protect people who gave evidence. And it was done on the basis of preventing people who genuinely given evidence in the interests of the inquiry being sued. That's what happened.
But why would you then trash any of the evidence in the likelihood that it might be needed later on?
But then, don't forget, we set up the Ford inquiry subsequent to all of this.
Yeah, and this issue and the terms of reference didn't allow the admission of this issue to Leanne Ford's inquiry.
No. But if the former government had wanted to look at any of this material, then they could have done so. You remember, Alan, what we did with this, because this then came to my attention when I became Premier, we looked at it. The previous Borbidge government, and he was the National Party, and he was the leader of the coalition, they looked at it. They had some lawyers look at it. Nobody suggested that anything should be done further on the Heiner matter.
Okay, well, I think that's going to run on. We've run out of time. Just in terms of Anna Bligh, just say to my listeners very quickly, what sort of person is she?
She's very intelligent. She's hardworking. She's experienced. She's spent years as the... She's been Treasurer for 2 years. She's doing the infrastructure here. She will be our first woman Premier, Alan, but she's a very talented young woman. She'll be a better Premier than me. She'll be very good.
Can you categorically say that Kevin Rudd hasn't offered you an ambassadorial role in return for you going and perhaps putting a bit of weights on transformation or renewal within the Federal Liberal Party?
Absolutely, I can say that, Alan. I had a talk with Kevin and Therese, Heather and I did on Sunday night, simply to let him know what I was doing. There was no discussions about any of that sort of stuff.
If one was offered, would you take it?
Oh, look, to be perfectly honest, I'm just looking forward to getting out and having a holiday. I'm not thinking about any of that. I think probably my wife would shoot me if I went back into public life in any manner, shape or form.
Okay, thank you for talking to us.
Alan, it's been a pleasure and thank you for having me over the years.
Not at all. That's the Premier, still Premier of Queensland, Peter Beattie, but he'll be no longer a Member of Parliament on Friday and there'll be a by-election for his seat of Brisbane Central.